Nightline. Tonight, breaking news, a nail biter of a night in Georgia.
We're leaving it all on the field.
We're going out to win this election.
After voters there turned out in record numbers, finally choosing their next senator.
The people have spoken.
What will the results mean for a partisan Senate and a divided country? Plus, teen gambling, when you can place a bet from your cell phone.
Today's teenager can gamble for essentially unlimited sums of money on the internet.
Young people becoming addicted.
There's nine innings in a baseball game. You can bet on every single one.
The growing danger facing families.
What did you miss along the way?
How quickly it became an obsession.
And no barriers and no mountain too high. We're with the determined community working together to overcome their own personal challenges.
The idea is like, hey, let's support each other so that we can all excel, so that we can all get to the summit.
And the surprise at the other side.
Nightline, we'll be right back.
Thanks for joining us. We have breaking news as we come on the air tonight. Georgia's Senate seat remains blue. Reverend Raphael Warnock pushing back a challenge from political newcomer Herschel Walker.
You have put in the hard work, and here we are standing together.
The crucial Georgia runoff race for the Senate seat, fiercely contested throughout the midterm season, going down to the wire. ABC's congressional correspondent Rachel Scott is in Atlanta at Warnock headquarters, where they are celebrating. Rachel?
Juju, Georgia voters knew that they would have the last word in the final Senate battle, and tonight they have handed Democratic Senator Raphael Warnock a major victory. His supporters celebrating tonight here in Atlanta. This was a race that was contentious, at times surprising, full of all sorts of twists and turns. The Republican challenger, Herschel Walker, fending off allegations that he paid for two women to get abortions, allegations of domestic abuse, even that he lied on his resume. Tonight, he is projected to be defeated here in Georgia, dealing a crushing blow to the Republican Party after a string of disappointing midterm losses. As for Democrats, well, now they have an outright majority in the Senate, and this is going to make things like confirming judicial nominees, even legislating within their party, a whole lot easier. A victory and a hard-fought campaign for Democratic Senator Raphael Warnock, Juju.
Our thanks to Rachel. We turn now to a growing problem across America with sports betting seemingly everywhere and the easy access of online sports gambling. More underage gamblers are taking part and getting hooked.
If you have a phone on you and you have connection to the internet, you can gamble whenever you want.
18-year-old Steve first felt the thrill of gambling at age 15.
All it took was playing dice. From there, it just kind of grew.
How much did you win?
A couple hundred dollars.
That was your first hit?
That was like the first high.
To speak candidly, he has to be in shadow, to use a different name and alter his voice to help hide his identity.
How many parents out there do you think are aware that their teenage boys have a gambling problem?
Not as many as there are, but it's hard for parents to know.
In a world where placing a bet can easily be done on your cell phone.
Lady Luck.
Yes, ma'am.
And commercials like these pop up during major sporting events like the Super Bowl.
New customers can bet $5 and win $280 cash on either team to win the Super Bowl.
Even with age checks and other safeguards, a growing number of teens like Steve are fighting a gambling addiction.
Young people are significantly at higher risk of developing gambling disorder than adults, in part because their brains are not fully developed. Their ability to evaluate risk, their ability to handle loss, isn't as secure as an adult.
Between 60 to 80% of high schoolers say they've gambled for money in the past year, and up to 6% are addicted to gambling, according to the International Center for Youth Gambling Problems and High-Risk Behaviors. Steve says that his love of playing basketball and baseball morphed from a sports obsession into a gambling obsession.
It's not about just watching a sports game. It's more about watching for the money. There's nine innings in a baseball game. You can bet on every single one. You could bet on if a certain person is going to get a hit in one inning.
How did
gambling hit your brain?
I kind of use gambling as an escape from simple things like just boredom, sadness, anger, even like joy, just like, you know, drugs and alcohol for some people.
It gave you a rush.
Yeah.
In 2018, the Supreme Court struck down the federal ban on sports betting, paving the way for at least 30 states and Washington, D.C. to legalize the practice. While the legal age to gamble in the U.S. is 18 or 21, depending on the state and types of gambling, experts warn that young people are still finding ways to place bets.
The casino is available in many people's homes. It's on their pocket, on their smartphone. Today's teenager can gamble for essentially unlimited sums of money on the internet, through friends, or even at various casinos throughout America.
Steve says he was able to illegally gamble by accessing legal sports betting sites using other people's accounts who were of age. He also used unregulated offshore illegal websites.
This is the very first time that gambling is now socially accepted. All right. Before it was underneath the table. Now they've not only legalized it, but they made it extremely easy for anybody to bet.
Soon, Steve racked up thousands of dollars in debt. Bookies calling him in the middle of school, he says.
I'm in math class taking a test, and I have like my phone calls that I have to like worry about, you know, getting this person his money.
Or else.
Right.
It became a full-time job, isolating him from his friends and family, keeping him up all night. He even began stealing money to pay back his debts.
It affected my relationship with my family, with some of my closest friends.
When did it first occur to you that your son had an issue?
He was kind of clutching his phone while sort of napping. He just started mumbling about college basketball, and I actually took the phone to see what was going on, and there was this long string of texts to a colleague of his, and they had been texting all night long about their bets.
His father, who we're calling Martin, also asked to have his voice altered to help hide his identity. He says at first, he and his wife failed to fully grasp how destructive his son's gambling addiction had become.
We had to confront him about what was going on. How bad was it? And it was very difficult to get truthful responses from him because he was very protective of that behavior.
What did you miss along the way? What do other parents miss?
How quickly it became an obsession.
With his family's support, Steve joined a 12-step program. But staying sober is no easy task. He briefly relapsed.
Can you watch sports without being tempted?
Honestly, not really, no. Because I kind of played around with it. I watched a couple games here and there.
And those are triggers.
Mm-hmm.
He went to rehab and is now in recovery.
What do parents need to know?
Advertisements, all the commercials, like they really make it seem like it's like a good thing. I've never seen a commercial talking about the downsides of it.
I believe they're targeting the young.
Gary Schneider is Steve's sponsor and says he too was once addicted to gambling.
They want the next generation, but they label it gaming, all right, because now it's a game that they go on and do that. It's really gambling.
Legal gaming companies refute that. We reached out to the American Gaming Association, which told us in September the U.S. gaming industry invests hundreds of millions of dollars annually in consumer education, employee training, research, and support. Our collective responsible gaming commitment includes comprehensive protocols in place to verify the identity and age of customers. It's our priority that gaming remains entertainment strictly for adults. FanDuel, which often advertises during major sporting events, owns nearly half the online legal sports betting market in the U.S. In a statement from September, they told ABC News that FanDuel strictly prohibits wagering by minors and employs a strict identity authentication process at sign-up with information that's validated by independent verification services before an account is permitted to place a wager. But Steve's dad says it's not enough.
It's in every sporting event. There's advertisements constantly. We don't sit and watch a game together like we might have done when he was younger. It has been hard to have removed that from our relationship. There's just not that level of education, and there's just not that level of awareness of it as a problem.
And when we come back, the diverse group that won't let anything stand in their way as they fight their way to the top.
Getting close.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Often celebrate those who break boundaries, but doing so takes strength and determination, and most often, teamwork. And that's how one brave woman got to the top of her mountain.
With every push, every inch of the way, one woman, not just battling up a steep trail in Colorado's Rocky Mountains, she's breaking stereotypes.
I'm the worst. I don't let my disability stop me. Sometimes I might be like, oh man, I can't get through this. But I gotta change that mindset.
Mountain climbing requires extra effort for Melissa Simpson. She's also battling cerebral palsy, pushing well beyond her comfort zone in this specially designed chair with hand levers propelling the wheels forward. Today is one of the greatest physical challenges she's ever faced.
You feeling okay?
Yeah.
It's a fight that comes from within.
I don't think of my disability, and I don't particularly care for people to define me as a disabled person. I can do things, but I do them differently than other people.
The team helping Melissa through the rough spots on this trail are volunteers.
Thanks, Bill.
Around 400 people of all abilities are making this hike today, organized by a nonprofit group called No Barriers, empowering people with physical and mental difficulties.
A lot of people find themselves in our community kind of getting shoved to the sidelines and not really feeling connected.
Eric Weinmeier is a veteran at Breaking Barriers, in 2001 becoming the first ever blind person to reach the summit of Mount Everest. It was overcoming those challenges as a disabled mountaineer that led him to co-founding the group.
We get into our corners as folks with disabilities, and we kind of create these expanses around us, and we become a bit isolated.
Losing his sight to a childhood condition by the age of 14, Eric was completely blind.
I remember sitting in the cafeteria after going blind my freshman year in high school, sitting at a table by myself and listening to all the food fights and jokes and fun over there with all my friends. I was scared to go blind, but my greatest fear was that I was going to be left out of everything.
He now advocates for inclusion and acceptance.
Today, hiking with us up the mountain, you'll see every disability under the sun, from folks with cerebral palsy to folks in wheelchairs cranking their way up the mountain with their arms, to injured veterans, to kids in the foster care system. So it's this really eclectic community of people, and we ask them to kind of lean in and lift each other up.
Adversity has challenged Melissa all her life, right from day one. Born with cerebral palsy, weighing less than 2 pounds. spending her first 2 months on a ventilator, growing up confined to a wheelchair, never able to run around with other kids, her disabilities making her an easy target.
I got bullied, I got pushed around, and people would laugh and make fun of me.
It wasn't only the other children who ridiculed her. According to Melissa, even one of her teachers was abusive.
She would tell me I wouldn't get anywhere in this world. I wouldn't graduate high school, let alone college.
Before she started climbing, depression and feelings of helplessness were a daily struggle, as documented here in this independent film, From My Window.
From my window, I could see the tallest peaks in Colorado. This is the view I had my whole life, and I've always wanted to tackle these mountains.
Melissa's journey to reaching those distant heights began on the day she defied that negative teacher and graduated from college with an associate's degree in 2017. Eric was her commencement speaker.
What doesn't get talked about enough is the struggle.
That was the flip of the switch for me. My life turned around.
She's just gung-ho. She wants to attack life, you know, and so No Barriers is a perfect community for her.
Back on the trail, now halfway up the mountain, Melissa and her team realize they've taken a wrong turn.
To be honest, I was reading the sign, so I feel bad because that said bridle path this way, and that's the way we went.
But so. I like the harder path,
yeah.
So that's good, though.
Same thing right there.
Persevering with that harder path, that determination paving the way as the trail narrows and becomes more treacherous.
Whoa. Compensate on the right.
Getting her through the hard places, the helpers, a vital community of support.
We call it a rope team, a metaphor taken from the mountains where you're actually roped to the people around you physically. So we say, hey, join this No Barriers rope team, and we can support each other, and we can lift each other up, and we can help each other solve problems, right?
Just one more hairpin turn to go.
Yep. I have it in my pocket.
Straight.
And turn.
Good job.
Root on the left, rock on the right.
Wow, look at that view.
And then she and her team finally reached the peak of the mountain, just like the ones she would see from her window, finally within reach.
Yeah, I made it to the top.
You say to Melissa, do you want to do the easy way or the hard way? She'll say the hard way every time.
Do you need to adjust at all?
Nope, I'm good. You good?
Then comes a surprise from Melissa's rope team, lifting her up and carrying her the final few feet to a privileged seat on the highest rock.
I got two legs.
I feel like I accomplished something bigger than myself. Yeah.
You did an amazing job.
My cerebral palsy don't stop.
That's right. Kicking it in the butt.
Yeah.
You get pulverized in life, and then you somehow figure out this way of coming back into the world. And the cool part about this community is you just sit and talk to people, and everyone has a story of challenge, a story where they were low and they figured out a way to reclaim their life. And I think the world needs that right now. There's so much negativity in the world out there, so much fear. I think the world needs a little No Barriers.
Melissa now confirming that she is an official ambassador with No Barriers. And finally tonight, as we near the end of 2022, Time magazine is out with a very diverse list of the year's most influential people. Including global K-pop sensation Blackpink, famous for their Hot Pink Venom. Selected as Entertainer of the Year. And black country artist Mickey Guyton. She received 3 Grammy nominations. One of those was for her song, Remember Her Name, with the honor of Breakthrough Artist. And of course, keep an eye out for Time's Person of the Year, which will be announced tomorrow. That's Nightline. You can watch all of our full episodes on Hulu. We'll see you right back here same time tomorrow. Thanks for staying up with us. Good night, America.